So we're starting a brand new series today entitled Believe Big. On the count of three with a strong voice, I want everyone in the room to say Believe Big. Here we go. One, two, three. This series is about having bold faith in a big God who can do the impossible. That is exactly what this series is about. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. In the world system, how many know we need money to make things happen? Isn't that right? But in the kingdom of God, we need faith to make things happen. And so without faith, we cannot please God. But with faith, you can see the promises of God come to pass in your life in incredible ways. Now, remember, faith doesn't make things easy. However, it makes them possible. And to the degree that we will learn faith and develop our faith and increase our faith, because the Bible says we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, we'll see God do amazing things in our lives. Ephesians, the third chapter and the 20th verse, it says, now unto him who is able, I'm reading out of the Amplified, to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, everybody say more, more than all that we dare ask or think. So not even what we ask, but if you can just think it. He says, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, our greatest hopes, or our greatest dreams, watch this, according to the power that is already at work within us. In other words, God wants to do some amazing things in your life. Holy Spirit is already in you, helping you, and to the degree that you really release your, develop your faith and release your faith, you can see God do amazing things in your life. And so I'm excited about this series. I really believe that God is going to speak to you over these next few weeks. I believe that God's going to give you some clarity. I believe he's going to give you some direction. I believe that your faith is going to be increased. I believe some favor is going to show up in your life. I believe that some things are going to happen for you. And so that's why I was super focused when I woke up this morning. And I was like, you know, I knew that I needed to deliver this word in a way that you could understand it. So when you walk out here today, you can be in faith so you can get results. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to jump right into the lesson. How many points do y'all think I have today? You already know I've got three strong, powerful points that I believe are going to help you. So let's jump into it. Everybody shout point number one. Point number one, believe in a big God. I must believe in a big God. I've got to believe that I serve a big God that can do absolutely anything but fail. That he has not brought me this far just to lead me. That he's not just wanting to be my Sunday God, but he's wanting to be my everyday God. He just doesn't want to be with me in the good times. He says, I want to be with you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. He makes a commitment that he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us, that he is going to be with us until the end. So no matter what happens in your life, no matter how challenging it gets in your life, you've got to know that God is with you and God is greater and God is with you and you cannot fail. Everybody say, God is with me and God is greater. God is with me and I cannot fail. Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter and the 17th verse, I love this scripture and I love the way it starts. What's that first word, y'all? Say it again. He says, Lord God. He says, behold, or look, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. He said, there is nothing too hard for you. Do you know what the word nothing means? Nothing. So he says, there's absolutely nothing too hard for you. He says, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. There is nothing too hard for thee. And so what happens is we've got to believe in a big God who can do absolutely anything but fail. How many in the room know that God is not limited by our circumstances? Yeah, so that's why we have to stop measuring God by the size of our problem. Does that make sense? Because we serve a big God. And so that's why when we have things going on in our lives, we don't talk about how big our problem is. We talk about how big our God is. We don't go around magnifying the problem. We go around magnifying the God that can solve our problem, because we know that he's a way maker. We know that he's a miracle worker. We know that he's a promise keeper, that if he said it, he's going to do it, that if he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass. past and our lives. And so we have to have faith and the faithfulness of God for a whole lot of reasons, but let me just give you one reason, because God is faithful. God is faithful. You can look over your life and see the faithfulness of God. The fact that you're here today shows God's faithfulness in your life. That he woke you up this morning, that he started you on your way, that you've got the activity of your limbs, that the blood is running warm in your vein, you got it, that your mind is right. Come on, somebody. We've all got something to give God praise for. That's a good place to give God a big hand. All right, so repeat after me. Say, my God is way bigger than what I'm facing. I think in the sermon note apps, I put my God is bigger than what I'm facing, but way bigger just sounds better, amen? So my God is way bigger than what I'm facing. And the key is understanding that his word will not return to us void, that God's word is not sometimes good, but God's word is always good. That is why Hebrews 10 and 35 says we have to hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. So you have to hold fast to the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, right? But it is released how? By the words of our mouth. So faith cometh by hearing, but it is released by the words of our mouth. So when I hear the word of God, faith is increased in my life. Watch this. But now I need to release this faith by opening my mouth and declaring the word of God over my life, over my marriage, over my children, over my finances. You got it? Because how many know you need to be saying something? And you need to be saying the word. Don't let the devil be the only one talking. Because he's going to talk, but he talks doubt, he talks unbelief, he talks about how you ain't going to make it, and this ain't going to work out, and you're going to die, and you ain't never going to get better. But let every man and every devil be a lie, and let God be true that his word is not going to return unto us void, right? So I don't care what it looks like, I'm sticking with the word. I don't care what other people say, I'm sticking with the word. If everybody else wants to walk away from Jesus, you can walk away, because I'm sticking with him. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. Everybody say, believe big. See, if you can find the promise in God's word, release faith and just hang on, it's going to come to pass. I'll say it again. If you can find the promise in God's word, so we find the promise for healing. We find the promise for peace. We find the promise for increase, just no matter what it is. So you find the promise for his word, right? And then release faith for it, right? I begin to speak the word of God. I begin to do what I know I can do, right? Because faith meets us at the point of human limitations. I do everything that I can do. When I draw nigh to God, how many know he's going to draw nigh to us, right? So when I make a move toward God, God is going to make a move toward me. A lot of times we think we're just going to sit by the dock of the bay, waiting on time to roll away and say, Lord, whatever you're going to do, just do it, you know? And you know, you don't have to make a special trip, but while another is thou art calling, you know, don't make a special trip, but please don't pass me by. I'm just trying to climb up the rough side of the mountain. I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes. No, that's not the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life is when you wake up in the morning, you have an alertness, man. God woke me up this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad. He's given me a brand new day with brand new mercy. He's given me another day to get it right. He's given me another day to impact somebody's life in an amazing way. He's given me another day to lift my hands and worship him. God's given me another day. And so that's having this attitude of gratitude. That's having this faith. There's this joy. See, faith is not frustrating. All right, everybody say faith is not frustrating. So when I'm in faith, I'm in anticipation and expectation that God is moving in my life. So my faith is not, but watch this, my joy is not even based on where I am, because you might not necessarily in the natural be in a good spot, but my joy is based on the anticipation of where I know God is taking me, that it's not always going to be like this, that I see better days, that I see brighter days, that I see God working this situation out for my good, and if I hold on to my faith, I'm going to see it come to pass in my life. Does that make sense? Luke 1 and 37 In the Amplified, it says, "For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." So the writer is teaching us that, number one, the reason we believe big and the reason we have to believe in a big God is because, for with him, with God, nothing is ever impossible. You got it? And then not only does it give me that part, but it says, "And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." So not only does God give you his word, but if you get in faith and release faith on that word, he backs it up with his power to perform it in your life. And because God's word can be guaranteed as long as we stay in faith. Does that make sense? God's word can be guaranteed as long as we stay in faith. If I will believe and confess my healing, then there's enough power in his word to bring it to pass. If I believe and confess my deliverance, then there's enough power in his word to bring it to pass. If I believe and confess a better marriage, then there's enough power in his word to bring it to pass. If I believe and confess, watch this, amazing children who are serving God, then there's enough power in his word to bring it to pass. Does that make sense? See, the problem is when we begin to walk by faith, we think we have to do everything, and you don't have to do everything. You do your part, and you let God do his part. Your part is to hold fast to this word. Your part is to believe this word. Your part is to confess this word and to not be moved from the enemy, from his fiery darts, from his negative thoughts, or any situation. That's your part. And if you stay in faith, how many know God will do his part? Does that make sense? So that's the key. I do my part, and I know God will do his part. And that is why I never move from my confession. I never, ever move from my confession, because I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. And I believe the word of God. All right? So that's point number one. Believe in a big God. All right? Did y'all get anything out of that? All right. Everybody say point number two. Point number two, I must develop faith that unlocks the impossible. I have to develop faith that unlocks the impossible. And so you have to understand, the writer talks about your faith increasing exceedingly, all right? So now we understand that my faith is supposed to increase. Faith, it comes by hearing, but it is released by the words of my mouth. And so, faith cometh by hearing and not what you've heard. So thank God for what I heard and the faith that I received. But how many know we need more faith, because we need to continue to increase our faith? And that's why we just don't need to listen to a lesson on Sunday, but maybe go back and listen to it on Monday or Tuesday, or go back. Everything, Pastor, anybody here at Without Limits who gets up and teaches, it's on YouTube, it's on Facebook, it's on the app, it's on the website. It's all absolutely free. You understand what I'm saying? And so why? Because you can go back and say, I need to find a series on this, or I need to find a series on that, so you can listen to it so your faith can be increased. So our faith has to be increased. It has to develop. Hebrews 11 and 6 is very plain and clear. He says, but without faith, it is what, class? Impossible to do what? To please him or please God. For he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Excuse me. So the only way to please God and, everybody say and, see his word come to pass in my life is by me developing my faith. All right? I've got to develop my faith. James 1 and 2, I'm going to read verses 2 through 8. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, you could look at that as impossible situations, all right? He says, knowing that the testing of your faith, what does it produce?
Patience.
Now, patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. So I haven't seen my manifestation yet, but I believe God. So I haven't seen the money show up yet. I haven't seen, the answered prayer yet, but I believe God, right? Because I'm in faith. You got it? So my faith tells me, even though I haven't seen the manifestation yet, it is just a matter of time, right? So when the enemy tries to show up and say it ain't gonna work, I tell him it's just a matter of time. Right? Till I see what I've been speaking for come into manifestation in my life. He says in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and complete, lacking how much? He says, lacking nothing, all right? Now, and he kind of gives me the antidote, as the case may be, of how to move into this. So he says that when I have a situation or a circumstance that comes my way, count it all joy. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like counting all joy. I feel you. But that's what the Bible teaches us to do. And I believe the Bible, right? And so sometimes, you know, situations show up that we ain't happy about. Can I get a? We don't really want to be in that situation. Can I get a? You got, and we wish we had never dealt with it. Can I get a? But it is what it is. So how am I going to respond to what's going on in my life? And the writer says you got to count it all joy. He says, because the testing of your faith produces patience, and I got to let patience have its perfect work so I can come to a place of maturity, all right? That's what that word perfect means, because we're not perfect, and so that word perfect means coming to a place of maturity. Now watch the wisdom that he gives us in verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him, what's that one word? Let him,
yes.
All right? So he says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? So let him ask of God, who gives not to some, but to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. So he says, if you need wisdom on a certain area, don't get frustrated. Don't say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know what's going on. He says, go to God and say, Father, I need wisdom on this situation, right? I go to God all every day, all throughout the week, for wisdom on everything. If I'm going to make a phone call, I pray about the phone call I'm about to make. And Father, I thank you for the wisdom that I need to help this person in this situation. I thank you that the Holy Spirit is going to speak through me and going to minister to that person. And by the time we hang up, they've got the faith they need to make it happen in their lives. Does that make sense? Because it's not me. You got it? But it's the God that's working in me. It's the God that's working in you, all right? So he says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, without reproach, and it will be given him. All right, here's the key, class, verse 6. But let him ask in
faith.
Let him ask in faith. That is the key. That is the key. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, watch this, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, verse 7 is powerful. Now, I think, you know, verse 7, you know, I don't know, I love to read the scriptures. I love the Bible. I love the word, you know, those kind of things. And I just personally feel that all of the word is encouraging, right? All of the word. But I do think there's some word that are just kind of, just come at you, right? You understand what I'm saying? You got, I really do. And I think that verse 7, for me, anytime I read it, it just comes at me. It says, for let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Like, that just kind of comes at you, right? But the Lord, but God says, if you want to see my results, you got to do it my way. Right? So he says, if you need wisdom, you're going to have to, watch this, if you need wisdom on anything, ask in faith. You cannot doubt. You got it. He says, because if you doubt, don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. Watch this. Verse 8 says, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Another scripture that just comes at you. You'll be like, whoa, praise the Lord. You got it? And so why does the scripture come at me like that? To make sure that it's keeping me in a position of faith. Because what I don't, what we can't do is get in a situation and start feeling sorry for ourselves and have a pity party. And I'm not being mean when I say that, and I'm not taking light of your situation, but pity parties don't move God. Come on, somebody. Does that make sense? Me being down doesn't move God. And I'm not saying sometimes we won't have moments like that. I'm not knocking that. But I'm saying once you get to that point and I get down, I believe that either the Holy Spirit or one of my brothers and sisters or my wife or somebody's going to be around, you got it, that's going to help lift me up. So I'm not knocking that, but I'm just saying that doesn't move the hand of God. Faith is what moves the hand of God. So you got to have your mind made up and your heart fixed that for God I'll live and for God I'll die. You got to start opening your mouth, because faith is released by the words of your mouth, and you got to start saying the stuff you hear me saying on Sunday in the week. Like, I am going to make it and I am going to win. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't know all them scriptures, Pastor Preacher, but I know some of them sayings he be saying. And the sayings I be saying come straight from the word of God, right? So you got to make it up in your mind that you're going to get some fight in you. right? What happened to the fighter in you? Before you were saved, you go up beside everybody's head. Now you got saved and you want to be all timid while on others. Now we don't want to fight people because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But what I'm saying is take that same fight to the devil and let him know I am a child of the Most High God. You done messed up when you started messing with me. Why? I'm not scared of you. Why? Because I got the word on this. He became poor that through his poverty I might become rich. I don't care what the bank account looks like. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. I am a giver. I am a tither. So he's got to show up for me. So if God got to open a door, if he got to make a way, whatever he's got to do, he's got to do it for me. Come on, somebody. I'm not as scared of a doctor's report because I got the word on this. He took 39. I got to calm down because I got the word on this. He took 39 stripes, and by those stripes, I'm not going to be healed. I'm already healed. Even if I'm not yet walking in the full manifestation of it, my faith is walking in the full manifestation. So I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. So I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm getting better and better and better, and every step I take is a step of faith. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Well, Pastor, it didn't work out on Monday. Keep in faith. It didn't work out on Tuesday. Stay in faith. Pastor, this whole week worked out, and I haven't seen it. Stop saying I haven't seen it. Say I haven't seen it yet. You got to make it up in your mind. See, the bad news is I'm trying to slow down, but I kind of want to teach this thing and preach this thing at the same time. See, the bad news is you've been delayed, but the good news is you have not been denied. You've got to have faith in the faithfulness of God. That if God said it, he's going to do it. That if he spoke it, he's going to bring it to pass in your life. Now I see why God woke me up with such a focus this morning. Because I got to get it made up in your mind that God is going to do what seems impossible in your life. And if you got enough faith to believe it, God says, I got enough power to bring it to pass in your life. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Look at your neighbor and tell him, this is good. This is good right here. This is good right here. Now look at your neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they're second choice, but just tell him, this is good right here. This is good right here. So it's not God's will for me to be sometimes up and sometimes down. Come on, somebody. Because faith is not a feeling. It is a choice to trust what God has said. Oh, that's bookable, tweetable, grammable, and everything. You understand? What did I say? I said faith is not a feeling. It's a choice to trust what God has said. So regardless of what it looks like, I believe God. See, walking by faith means believing before we see. I want you to catch this one. I want you to catch this one because this is going to help some of y'all, because sometimes you do things in faith and the devil wants to make you think, you know, you crazy and all those kind of things. But see, faith often looks foolish before it looks fruitful. You got it? Now, if you're going to put that on the on social media, make sure you put it in right, because if you put it wrong, you can mess the whole phrase up, all right? Faith often looks foolish before it looks fruitful. It looked foolish. Lady LaConte and I coming to New Bern 18 years ago. We didn't know anybody in the city, and it seemed like there's three churches on every street in the city already. It looked foolish. It looked foolish that we didn't just go down to the Holiday Inn and just, you know, rent a little room in case it worked out. It looked foolish. We rented a building right away. We bought brand new chairs right away. We bought brand new camera equipment right away. Lady LaConte and I sold, not loaned to the church, but sold into the ministry before the first person walked in, almost $37,000, getting everything, putting billboards up. See, it looked foolish that every day I would drive from my custom house in Jacksonville all the way to New Bern. You got it? Because we lived an incredible life, still do, praise the Lord. You know, and just to go in that little building, you got it, and to pray and to speak to every chair and to command it to be full. It looked crazy saying I command people to come from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. And when they come, I'm going to teach the word of God, and ladies going to teach the word of God, and they're going to receive it, and their life is going to be changed. Before you got here, I was already speaking over you and your marriage and your children and your finances and your business. So once you showed up, it was already in motion in your life. So it looked foolish. You got it. In 2007, babe, I remember in 2007, we were in little old Pollock Street. When you walk in, that was the church, just that one room right there. You understand? And Matt Court, you remember, there was a bathroom right there. And so what happened was, when the little kids wanted to use the bathroom, while I'm preaching, they get up and go to the bathroom. You understand? They didn't know their kids. You know, the adults would try to hold it, praise the Lord. You know, and then I'm preaching, and then we would hear the children in there spraying the lights off. And the smell would come, the Lysol smell would come right on out. But I wouldn't move by what I see, only by what I believe. I knew God called me to New Bern. Come on, somebody. You got it. You know, and so what happened was, during that same time, you got it, in that little building, you got it, I prophesied that Without Limits would be the example church, not just in Craven County, but abroad. And it looked foolish saying that years ago, but look what the Lord has done. So faith often looks foolish before it looks fruitful. So I know sometimes people don't understand why you have an alarm that goes off on your phone several times a day. You got it, that reminds you to believe big, or just confess the word, or it will happen. I know people don't understand why you put screensavers on your phone and on your computer that says paid in full, or debt free, or stickies on your mirror. You got it, that just that blessings over my children, and those kind. It might look foolish, but if you stay in faith, it's going to be fruitful. See, faith sees the invisible, it believes the impossible, and it receives the incredible. So, oh man, I'm okay, I got to go. Everybody say point number three. I actually had you take me 3 minutes off, so I got 90 seconds left. Praise the Lord. All right. I wasn't sure which way I was going to go, so I said, well, knock 3 minutes off my lesson. I should have added 3 minutes to my lesson. Pray. This been showing up good this morning. Yeah. Amen. Verse number three, I must stay focused and walk in daily expectation until I see the manifestation of what I'm believing for. I'm not even going to go through all this, because I believe I've given you what you need. I want to make a confession, the confession of momentum that we've been making all year. Let's stand up. We're going to make this confession, all right? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by and not by. So God meets us at the level of our expectation. Did you hear what I said? God meets us at the level of our expectation, all right? When we believe big, we position ourselves for big results. So don't settle for just enough. Believe for the overflow. Yeah. Did you hear what I said? Don't settle for just enough. Believe for the overflow. And hear me now. I'm not just talking about overflowing money, and I want you to have overflowing money. But I'm talking about overflowing joy, overflowing peace, overflow in a good marriage, overflow in my health, in my children, in every area of your life. Because the enemy will try to tell you what's not going to work out. And watch this. But we reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the word of God. Say, we reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the promises of God. All right, let's make this confession. Y'all ready? Yes. All right, here we go. Everybody say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that 2025 will be a year of great momentum for me, my family, and those connected to me. I declare no lack, no limits, and no boundaries as I move forward in faith and experience your supernatural power at work in my life. Now say, I receive wisdom and clarity that I need to make good decisions that will affect the rest of my life in a positive way. I expect signs. I expect wonders. I expect miracles. I expect your favor to rest on me in uncommon ways. I choose to stay focused, be at peace, keep my heart right on a daily basis. Now say, I refuse to fall into the trap of offense and make a commitment to stay focused, stay faithful, and stay the course. I thank you that your spirit, the spirit of victory, rests on me and my family. Now say, regardless of any obstacle that comes my way, I will pray. I will plan. And I will praise my way to victory. We're going to say that again. Say, I will pray. I will plan. And I will praise my way to victory. Victory in my family. Victory in my finances. Victory in my health. Victory in relationships. Victory on my job. Victory in my business. Victory on my children. Grandchildren. Great-grandchildren. Now say victory in every area of my life. All right, here we go. Everybody say, so Father, I'm ready. No, come on, say, I'm ready. Ready for victory. Nothing can stop me and nothing can slow me down. Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. Now say, I'm about to see something I've never seen before. Say, victory is mine. Come on, victory is mine. Say, victory right now is mine. Say, I decree it. I declare it. It is so in Jesus' name. Now shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. So now let me give you instruction, because anytime you get a word like this, the Bible says that the enemy will come immediately and try to steal the seed that's been sown. But I'm telling you, there's a faith that's in your heart right now. And so don't you let a negative thought come. Come on, somebody. Don't listen, husband and wives, don't fuss over if you go into Smithfields or Moore's after church. You know, because, you know, it'd be a little, ain't nothing big. Y'all know how sometimes you're like, okay, babe, where you want? Well, I asked you where you want. No, no, because see, the enemy will try to creep right in. But make it up in your mind. This is our season. This is our time. This is our moment. Momentum belongs to us, and we're going to see it in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for what you're doing in this ministry and the lives of these people. And I declare that momentum belongs to them. And I declare the declaration of faith we just made, that they're seeing it come to pass right now in their lives in the name of Jesus. I declare there are some things that are happening right now in the spirit realm, and it's just a matter of time till it shows up in the natural in their lives. So I declare increase on top of increase. I declare favor on top of favor. I declare good report after good report. Father, I declare that you are leaning in their direction and working out everything for their good. And so I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Listen, I can't take it that everybody knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And so I want everyone to pray this prayer after me. So if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer. If you need to rededicate your life, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're a Christian in the room, say, man, I just need to make sure that when I leave out of here today, that my heart is right for God with God. I just want you to pray the prayer. And so we're going to pray this prayer. Don't forget, if you want to join the church, check the box. If you give your life to Jesus, check the box. If you got a prayer request, grab that connection card. Use that connection card. It's for you. But I want to pray this prayer together. So somebody say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Now, say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you bless the Lord all over the building?